What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Oh, I'm going to do my best to remain calm, even though I'm ready to explode, Kansas City. I don't know about you, but the phone lines are open, and this show needs you today, Royals fans. The boys win 6-2 as they take a series. They take a game they had to have, a series they had to have, and they got it. And no doubt about it, from the very beginning, right out of the gate, the Royals put a run on the board in the first inning, and Seth Lugo makes sure that that stands up. Royals win 6-2. Again, this show needs you today. I need your reaction. I need your experiences, your sights, your sounds from Kauffman Stadium as today, the third largest crowd of the season turns out to see the biggest win of 2024. The phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Again, this show needs you guys today. I have to imagine that your excitement level is at a high that you haven't felt 8-9 years. 913-586-7610. The show needs you. I, on the other hand, respectfully, do not need you. The show needs you. I do not, because I could talk about Seth Lugo by myself to a wall for about 30 to 45 minutes. I could sit here and celebrate Bobby Witt Jr. for about 30, 40 minutes. We got to talk about the homestand being put forth by Vinny Pasquantino. That warrants at least 20 minutes. Now, you know me. I'm a nerd. I mean, in the truest sense, a baseball nerd. So I could talk about the team speed. Salvi with his second fastest time down the line of the season leads to the Royals' first run. I could talk about Dairon Blanco's speed. His fastest sprint down the first baseline of the year, by far, leading to that third run in the fifth inning. I could talk about the team speed for about 15, 20 minutes. And then, ladies and gentlemen, my dream scenario has indeed come true. That Guardians flight, watching them get on their bird to fly back to that, I don't want to be mean, to fly back to Cleveland. The thoughts, the doubt that is bouncing around in their mind right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Royals have won 4 of 6 this season from the first place Guardians. 2 losses, sure, okay. The loss yesterday, we talked about it. A foul ball was called a 2-run home run. The other loss, the Royals had a 5-0 lead and Seth Lugo couldn't make it hold up. Right, Bobby made that error late in the game. So I could talk about this Guardians flight home for a cool hour. Add it all up, guys. I got a good 3 hours in me alone. So the show needs you because no one wants to listen to me bloviate for 3 straight hours. So again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. That flight home for the Guardians, the type of doubt that is bouncing around in their mind. Now, they're not going to talk about it. You know, Jose Ramirez isn't going to sidle up to Stephen Kwan and say, oh, I'm afraid of the Royals. But in their quiet moments, they know they haven't beaten the Royals straight up. They know they haven't outplayed the Royals yet this season. In their quiet moments, they know Kansas City has the better rotation. They know Kansas City has the better defense, more team speed. And I understand their vaunted bullpen ranks as the best in baseball, but I don't know if you're watching what I'm watching. The Royals bullpen has outperformed the Cleveland bullpen. They dropped 10 runs on them. They double them. They more than double them up today. 6-2, the final score. The seed of doubt has been planted inside that Cleveland mind. Yes, they're 7 games up on the Royals. I know that. 7 to play. 7 more meetings between these two teams. 7 more meetings in a stretch of 10 days. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. This show needs you, but I could talk about this game and this team for about 3 straight hours. But all right, well, before we get to your phone calls, let's head inside that Royals, victorious Royals clubhouse. Let's talk to the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino, 3-for-4 on the day. Vinny, what's the feeling inside that clubhouse as you guys take 3 of 4 from the first place team?
It's a good vibe, but I wouldn't say there's a whole lot different. You know, we believe in ourselves a lot, and we look forward to competing every day. And we had a good series against Cleveland. We're excited for the day off tomorrow, and then you know, welcome Tampa into town for 3 games.
It's his 6th 3-hit game of the season. Vinny, today the 3rd largest crowd of the year here at Kauffman Stadium. They're making their way home after you guys made their day. What would you say to this fan base that turned out almost 28,000?
Yeah, that's beautiful. To have a fan base like that, you know, a Sunday 1 o'clock game, that's it's just incredible. It's always nice when I got to stay in the clubhouse a little bit longer because there's traffic outside the stadium. That's a really cool feeling when I got to sit in a little bit of traffic after a game. I hope that continues to happen because the fans here have been awesome. We were able to, you know, we've had a nice little homestand so far, and we look forward to continuing it and seeing everybody out. You know, we got 3 night games, so no Thursday day games. July 4th is Thursday, so that'll be exciting. Hopefully the K is packed some more. And yeah, I mean, the fans are everything to us, and to keep showing up, keep believing in us, it means everything to us.
The team had a great homestand and continues to hopefully have a great homestand against Tampa. You yourself have had a very well-rounded homestand. Solid days at the dish, driving in runs on the regular, and also playing a pretty strong first base when you're not the designated hitter. How good are you feeling right now?
Feel good. Trying not to get too up, too down. Just, you know, trying to ride that good wave and just keep feeling good and keep moving forward, you know, keep working. You know, personally, I'm not settling for anything the same way that this team isn't. You know, we know what our goals are. I know what my goals are, and those two things link up pretty good. So, you know, we're excited, but, you know, July starts tomorrow and we've got a little bit less than halfway to go, long way to go, and we're excited for the challenge that's in front of us.
Vinny, final thing for you. What stands out to you about what Seth Lugo brought today and what he's brought to this team this season?
He's been the leader of this pitching staff. We've got 5 guys deep that are phenomenal, but I mean, he is the unquestioned leader right now. He takes the mound and you know what you're going to get, which is all you really ask for. You know, as a position player, I don't really know what goes into being a pitcher, but what I know is how much fun I have when he's pitching. You know, he's going to work quick. He's going to be around the zone. Guys are going to have to really earn it to get on base, and that's really exciting. So for him to be able to get through 6, I think he got through 6 today.
He always does.
Yeah, he always does. And you know, he got hit pretty good there in the first inning. I think it was the first. And when I DH, yep. You know, I'm inside getting ready a little bit.
107 off his wrist.
Yeah, 107 off his wrist. The only thing I told him after was just maybe catch it. Don't let it go off your wrist. But he said, you know, you just got to bite it up. Good things might happen, and good things happened for him today. Good things happened for us. So, yeah, every time he takes the mound, it's incredible. We're just really excited.
Vinny, really appreciate it.
Walking out of the clubhouse right now. He says hello to everybody. Hello to all the fans.
They love Izzy. They love that tough SOB in center field, man.
Who doesn't love that?
Come on now.
I do too.
Vinny, enjoy your day off, man. We'll see you out here on Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Vern.
There you go. Vinny Pasquantino inside the Royals clubhouse. Vinny, 3-for-4 today. He's hitting .326 this season as the team's designated hitter. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Ladies and gentlemen, Vinny just gave me even more right there. You know, what he had to say about Seth Lugo, it's undeniable. Look, Cole Reagans is your opening day starter. No doubt about it. Cole Reagans is a stud. But even Cole yesterday, did you hear him after the game? Cole wasn't sulking at the fact that the Royals lost game three. Cole Reagans, after the game yesterday, says, "We got our guy going tomorrow. We're going to be just fine." And how about Vinny's thought on taking three of four from Cleveland? Does it sound like they're popping bottles in there? No, sounds like they're shaking each other's hands, saying, "I'll see you on Tuesday when we go get another series." It's the mentality of a winning ball club right there. That's the mentality of a squad that has bigger goals than to just play with the big boys. Thanks again to Vinny Pasquantino. 913-586-7610. Let's hear from you guys. Zach was at the game. He was one of the near 28,000 turning out for this one. Zach, what stands out to you, buddy?
Oh, well, Vern, I just want to say I think the thing that stood out to me the most today was this was a great all-around performance by the whole club, from the pitching to the batting. I don't think for the environment that we had, it was a perfect Sunday. You couldn't have asked for a better performance from the boys in blue. They did a fantastic job today. Seth Lugo out there on the mound just doing his thing. We had Cole Reagans bobblehead day today, ice cold Cole. And I think some of that magic wore off here on Seth, even though he doesn't really need it. But, man, the energy was great out there. We had about five rounds of the wave successfully go around the ballpark, and you just couldn't ask for more, Vern. So I'm really happy with what they've done so far this season. I'm enjoying the ride as a fan, and I hope they can continue to bring this momentum forward in the second half of the season. And, just go Royals, baby. It was a great day, great game.
Yeah, way to get us started, Zach. Royals right now on pace to win 89 games this year. They hold on to a playoff spot with a game and a half cushion over the Boston Red Sox. Walter was at the game. Walter, you're on 610 Sports Radio. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. And, you know, I was at the game. Of course, Lugo was dominant again. Vinny, Bobby, they got their three hits. And, you know, as this team begins to build hype, I'm already kind of looking ahead to the future. And I wanted to get your opinion on what this team should do with Mikael Garcia. We've seen him get moved to second. We've seen his average fall. And there's rumors that he could be traded. And I just wanted I wanted to see what you thought on what we should do with him. Because even though it is early in the season, the playoff hypes are becoming for real. And we
Who's saying they're going
to
trade him?
If you think we should trade him.
No. Who's saying that? Where's that from? I haven't heard that.
Yeah, they moved him to second for a reason. He was the middle infielder in the minors. And we brought up Alexander. I think we're going to look for a piece for him.
Oh, no. I couldn't disagree more.
I've been hearing that.
Oh, well, right, I haven't. All right. Well, hey, maybe you're more plugged in than I am, Walter. I appreciate the phone call. No, I think he's playing second base because Michael Massey is a DH. And defense up the middle is the name of the game, especially for the 2024 Royals. You want to be as strong up the gut defensively. And look, you know, Michael Massey has a gold glove ability over there. But now that he's not an option, and C.J. Alexander doesn't play second base, well, let's just put Mikel at second base for the time being. No, I would not trade Mikel Garcia. I don't see how that makes you any better. Losing a guy that can play in the middle of the infield, that isn't afraid of the big moment, that welcomes being a leadoff hitter, that is fearless on the base paths. He's one of the best base runners in the sport. He's one of the best defenders in the sport. Now, trading him, I don't know. Maybe someone could explain that to me, or what Walter's hearing, why Walter's hearing that, who Walter's talking to. Should we get the people that Walter's talking to some help? Let's go to Henry, who's right here in Jackson County. What's going on, Henry?
Hey, Vern. What's going on, brother?
What's up?
A couple things. So, one, the day didn't start great at the K. My brother crapped his pants in the parking lot, and I
nothing. We've all been there. If George Brett did it, it's fine.
We have not all been there. We have not.
Yes, you have. Don't call up and start with the lie. Get out of here. Get out of here. No, Henry, I'm sorry. I got to take another phone call. This is a Sunday. You're gonna open up your phone call lying on a Sunday, you heathen. Get real. Spencer in Kansas City, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
I went to the game today, driving home right now, and I get the feeling this was the separator that determines we're the playoff team. I think it's been back and forth all year long of, are we a playoff team? Are we not? You know, there's the past 9-10 years that have been a struggle. So you're out there at the K today. You see the energy. You just see everyone rallying behind the team. And I think we're just at the spot where more of that playoff team that we've been talking about.
Well, I'll put it this way. Thanks for the phone call, Spencer. There's no doubt about it. If I'm in that front office right now, if I'm ownership, yeah, I'm willing to get a touch bit more aggressive, because what I saw in April, right, the most successful month of April in franchise history, 17 wins. And then the boys backed it up with another 17-win month in May. I know June has been bumpy, but it's still the most successful June this team has had in 7 years. But if you, you know, dive in a little bit deeper, you know, to me, it all goes back to starting pitching. You know, I've said this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Starting pitching, defense, and team speed, it's the great equalizer. I don't care who you're facing, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Guardians, the Orioles, you can beat any of them because of your starting pitching, your defense, and your team speed. You're going to have a chance. It's going to be a game in the 6th, 7th, 8th innings. Who's going to blink first? It's what it often comes down to. You remember 2015. You remember Daniel Murphy booting the ball. Jose Bautista. Ryan Goins. Carlos Correa. I mean, we could go through John Lester in the wild card game. I mean, we can go through series by series in 14 and 15. And, you know, pitching, bullpen, defense, team speed. The other team always blinked first. And I think this defensive unit is as good, case can be made even better than that 2014-15 defense. Now, this rotation, you can make a case, is as good, if not better. Well, certainly better than, in my opinion, the rotation's certainly better than they were in 14 and 15. And the team speeds, you know, nose to nose with those teams. So that's the great equalizer. And when that rotation is at full strength, when Michael Wacha is healthy and in the rotation, this is one of the 3, 4, or 5 best starting staffs in the sport. I mean, you saw it this weekend, right? You took on the best team in the American League in every single game. Didn't you feel as if you had the better starter? I certainly did. Wacha, Marsh, Reagans, Lugo, Singers coming up on Tuesday in the opener against Tampa. So bring them on. Yeah, by taking this series, yeah, I think it is a gentle nudge to the front office of, mind the future. I'm not looking to push the chips all in, and I think it would be silly to make a World Series or bust type of trade. But let this series, and really let a majority of these first 86 games, be the type of evidence that if we get in, if this Royals team gets into the postseason, they can play with anyone. So the question is what will hinder them from making the postseason? If you can find an answer, go address that. I might submit that even though, yeah, this might nudge them towards being a touch bit more aggressive, how aggressive do they really need to be? Chris Bubich is on the come, right? He's going to be in that bullpen shortly. You still have other options down there. Daniel Lynch, Will Klein. You know, one of these starters goes to the bullpen maybe down the stretch in September. Now, offensively, Hunter Renfro, 14 hits in 14 games this month, half of them for extra bases. Renfro had a .333 batting average this month. You know, MJ Melendez, 12 hits in his last 13 games. Kyle Isbell's hitting better than 300, hit better than 300 for the month of June. And I'll say it again, so long as this rotation remains healthy for the final 76 games of the season, I'm not going to show up to the ballpark ever expecting the Royals to lose. I'm not going to flip on Bally Sports or tune in to 610 Sports Radio or the Odyssey app. I'm always going to expect the Royals to win, because how could you not with this type of pitching, defense, and team speed? 913-586-7610. Royals win 6-2. They take the series from the first place Guardians. Let's go to Justine in Gladstone. You're next up on the postgame show. Justine, go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Nice to talk to you again. I've been in a couple of times this season, and we were at the game today, and it's like, holy moly. Like, these teams, they think the Royals aren't it. But the reality is we just took it from the Guardian.
That's right.
Like, right? Like, we...
Oh, top to bottom. I'll play them in every facet, yes.
Every facet, right? Yep. And so... Yep. It was a little bit yesterday. I was at the game yesterday, and I was at the game today, and it's like, hey, we hang in, and we're doing it. And it's like, no, the Royals are it. If you ain't paying attention, you're not paying attention. So, like, show up, cheer out, and let's do this. Like, the Royals are playing meaningful ball in July. Tomorrow is July, and we're playing meaningful ball. Like, people, get out to the stadium.
They did. You saw it. They were out there. You don't need to yell. They were out there.
They were out there this weekend. I think we probably got like 85 over the weekend. I don't know how much it was totally over the weekend, but like 85 to 90,000 over the weekend. And so, like, keep showing up. Cheer these boys on. We're going to make a run for it. We're going to play October ball.
I think it's 95,000, Justine. Appreciate the phone call. About more than 95,000 people turned out for this four-game series to see the Royals take 3 of 4 from Cleveland, and the only loss that they had was, I mean, there were plenty of other reasons, I guess, but the game turned on a 2-run home run that went foul. Again, imagine that Guardians flight back to gray. I'm sure it's raining right now in Cleveland. The Guardians are 2-4 against your boys in blue this season and have been outplayed in every single facet by the Royals. Offensively, defensively, on the base paths, out of the bullpen, and at the dish. The Royals, thus far, head-to-head, have reigned supreme. Now, they welcome the Rays for 3 starting on Tuesday night. Go to Denver for 3, St. Louis for 2, and then Boston for 3, and then it's the All-Star break. Where do the boys stack up when it's all said and done, when we're heading to Arlington to hopefully watch Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez and Cole Reagans and hopefully Seth Lugo starting the game? Now, let's be real. Lugo's ERA now 2.17. That's the lowest in Major League Baseball. That's the lowest in franchise history for a player's first 18 starts with the team, and second lowest in Royals history through 18 starts, second only to Zach Greinke's 2.12 mark in that 2009 season. Lugo now 11-2 on the season and on pace to become the first Royal to win 20 games in a quarter century. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
And the 3-1, and he swings and hits it down the left field line, over the leaping third baseman Tatum. In to score comes Blanco. Bobby's going to fly around second. He's going for 3. The throw from the left fielder Kwan is offline, and it's an RBI triple down the left field line by Bobby Witt Jr. He drives in his 54th run of the year, and the Royals lead it 3-0.
Top 15 in RBI in Major League Baseball. Steve Stewart, great call there on 610 Sports Radio. Bobby Witt Jr.'s RBI triple in the fifth inning puts the boys up 3-0. They would go on to win 6-2, and they take the series from Cleveland. Bobby's RBI, I mentioned, top 15. That triples his ninth on the season. That's second most in Major League Baseball. Give me a second, would you? Bobby, 33rd multi-hit game, that's second most in baseball. Had a three-hit day. He has the second most base hits in Major League Baseball. He scored two runs. He's top five in that. He's top five in extra base hits. His .312 batting average is sixth best in baseball, and his .897 OPS puts him top 10 in the sport. Oh, and he's the fastest player in the sport and the best defensive shortstop in the American League. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. If you were listening to the On Deck show today, I got everything I asked for. I got Seth Lugo to flex his muscles as the ace of this staff. Bobby Witt Jr., I had unrealistic, unfair expectations, demands of him today. Big games, big players tend to step up in big moments. It was a big game. He came to the dish in a few big moments and came through just about every single time. So Bobby did all I asked and more. Seth Lugo did all I asked and more. And now that flight back home for those Guardians, there is a cloud of doubt bouncing around that chartered flight. Are the Royals better than us? No one's going to say it out loud, but they're all thinking it. Royals have taken four of the first six from Cleveland and outplayed them thoroughly. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Royals win 6-2. Let's go to Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern.
Yo.
Nice postgame. A little bit of pumping the brakes here. Since the Yankees came into town 3 weeks ago, we've played 20 games. And we've scored 63 runs. That's three runs a game, basically. And somehow, I don't know how, pitching and just toughness and gritting some wins out, we went 8-12 during that stretch. 8-12 during a stretch that we only scored three runs a game. Obviously, we need more offense. I mean, we just have to have more offense, which means if this continues and we're still hanging around 6 to 8 games above .500, at some point we need to make a move. I don't know who that move is, but I think we need to make a move to expand the lineup so that we can score 4 or 5 runs a game. I know for a while there we had the most extra base hits in baseball, but that kind of went down the tubes over the last 20 to 30 games. And with regard to the division, I'd be more worried about the fact that we have 6 games left against Minnesota and 6 games left against Boston. Those are the teams fighting with us for the second and third wild card spots. We need to win 4 out of 6 in both of those series. And we just need to stretch out the offense. We got to be able to find more than 3 runs a game.
Appreciate the phone call. I'm not really all that concerned about the offense. I don't understand it. Hitting, appreciate the phone call. Hitting is the toughest thing to do in this sport. I'm not going to ask them to do the heavy lifting. You have a rotation, a defense, and team speed that can do the heavy lifting. Royals, by the way, top half of Major League Baseball, averaging more than 4.5 runs per game. That's 13th best in baseball. The OPS, 13th best in Major League Baseball. So you're better than average. Now, pitching-wise, you're elite. Rotation, your rotation is elite. Your defense is elite. Your team speed is elite. Your offense is middle of the road, and the bullpen, I think, will continue to improve, has improved of late. I don't think you need much more offense than middle of the road offense. So I wholeheartedly disagree. You know, and you're having fun with numbers, right? Let's start here and end here. Okay, yeah, but for the season, they're averaging 4.5, more than 4.5 runs per game. Also, a lot of those contests that you were talking about, especially early on, like that New York Yankees series, right, didn't Dan Altavilla make a start there? Listen, if Marsh or Waka or Lugo or Singer or Reagans gets banged up, I'm with you. You got to get more out of the offense. No doubt. But so long as those guys remain healthy, those are your leaders. Those are the guys that are pacing the way. Now, Bobby and Salvi and Vinny, those guys need to be well above average. They need to play like all-stars, no doubt about it. Now, those guys got to do the heavy lifting for the offense, but everyone else, just get in where you fit in. Again, look at this game today. First run is courtesy of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. And again, Salvi's speed down the first baseline, his second fastest sprint time down the first baseline of the year, brings in that first run in the first inning. The speed of Dairon Blanco leads to the third run. Bobby's speed and bat leads to the fourth run. Salvi with a two-run home run, you put six on the board. I'm sorry. I have little to no concern about the offense. I always appreciate your input, Phil. Let's go to Clayton. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on? Clayton, how are you?
Good.
Well, what do you got to say, man? What'd you think?
Impressive series I've watched so far.
No doubt.
3 out of 4 against the Guardians. Even in the loss, we had some positive things to say about them. But has Bobby and Salvi and Lugo how are they not already in the starter for the All-Star game?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Clayton. Well, they can't be. They can't be yet. The voting is going on as we speak, MLB.com. It's a decision between Salvi and Adley Rutschman behind the dish, between Bobby and Gunnar Henderson at shortstop, and then it'll be up to Bruce Bochy, who starts for the American League. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 6-2 Royals victory. Game notes brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. The 2-3-4 hitters today, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, combined to go 7 for 12, scoring 4 of the 6 runs, driving in 5 of the 6 runs. Let's go to Elijah in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought up Seth Lugo, man. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I mean, even today, I mean, that first inning he took that ball off his wrist, I think it was. And, I mean, he just looked at his wrist, went to a bullpen, and there's nothing. I mean, the dugout. And just came out like nothing happened. I was just like, dude, that had to hurt. And he just didn't even blink.
Yeah, but no doubt.
Dude is crazy.
Yeah, you're right, man. Elijah, appreciate the phone call. If you missed it, it's Bo Naylor at the dish in the first inning with a man on first and two outs. He hits a 107-mile-per-hour line drive that hits the inside part of his left wrist. And yeah, walked to the dugout like nothing even happened. Came back out in the second inning, worked around a two-out double. In the third inning, worked around a one-out single. Retired the side in order, needing just 11 pitches in the fourth. Worked around a leadoff single in the fifth and a two-out single in the sixth. Seth Lugo's fifth start of the season of at least 6 scoreless frames. Nobody in the sport has more. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Benjamin in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 6-2.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Great.
I've been saying this from the beginning. I love what Blanco's doing, and I would just like to see him get some more playing time. You know, stealing the bases, I think he's hitting the ball pretty well. But I'd like to see Blanco get some more playing time. I just wondered what you thought about that.
I appreciate the phone call. I was surprised to see that this today was his first start in a week. That's not an easy thing to do, and I know it's not something that Matt Quatrero likes doing. But when you have him in the starting lineup, that threat late in a game, you know, for Vinny's leadoff single or a Salvi leadoff double, to not have that guy to go to off the bench, that's tough. Now, Blanco, today was his 20th start of the season. He scored 11 runs in those 20 starts, which is impressive, keeping in mind that he's normally hitting an 8th, 9th, 9th today, goes 1 for 4. And got that 5th inning, that 2-run 5th inning started with a little dribbler back to the mound. And he was going faster than 31 feet per second down that first baseline. 30 feet per second is elite. You know, that's what Bobby averages. That's why Bobby's the best or fastest base runner in the sport. But Blanco, that was by far his fastest burst that we've seen so far this season. Now, he's impressive, but to me, it's just too valuable, that late-game pinch-run ability of Dairon Blanco. That's why I'd be hesitant to put his name in the lineup more than once a week, especially when Hunter Renfro's hitting the ball well. I don't want Kyle Isbell doing anything but playing center field, and he's hitting well. Now, MJ Melendez is, since that last road trip started, he's had a nice stretch. But I'm with you. I'll put it this way. I'm very happy Dairon Blanco is on this Royals ball club. You know, Dairon Blanco to me is, obviously he falls in line. He falls in the explanation as to why this Royals team sits 8 games above 500. Why they're on pace to win 89 games this year. It's because of that elite team speed. And you saw that today. You saw the elite starting pitching. Seth Lugo leads baseball in innings pitched. Nobody has more quality starts than Seth Lugo, who threw his 14th today. He's gone at least 6 innings in 16 of his 18 outings. There's nobody else in baseball that can say that. I'm going to say something that might upset you. If I had to say there's one Royal that deserves to start next month's All-Star game, it's Seth Lugo. He, in my opinion, is better than the rest of the options. Well, Gunnar and Bobby, man, flip a coin. Adley and Salvi, flip a coin. I don't know who I'm flipping a coin against Seth Lugo with. Logan Gilbert, Tanner Houck. If it's up to me and I can pick one Royal to start the Midsummer Classic, for as much as it would, warm my heart to see Bobby make that start in his hometown. Man, that'd be sweet. Seth Lugo deserves it more than anyone else. Today, his 10th start of at least 6 innings, allowing one run or fewer. That's more than everybody else in Major League Baseball. Again, I think I just gave you like 5 different stats where he's the only guy doing it. It's amazing. Let's go to Jake in Ottawa. Jake, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for having me on, man. Just wanted to get a couple things in, man. I tell you what, first of all, the bandwagon is filling up because
loaded.
This is by far the hardest time I've had getting on the radio with you this season, and I've been on a few times, man. Second of all, man, what a great game by Seth Lugo once again. Just, he's a professional. I mean, you can just see he really puts everything in his craft. I've listened to him talk this year about the work that he puts in on just analyzing, different batters, how he always feels like he has an out regardless of the situation. I agree with you on the All-Star thing, man. He's great. The only thing I can see that we, I know the most popular thing was everybody's been saying we need an outfielder, but I think with Renfro coming on, Isbell hitting now. I know MJ is struggling still a little bit, although he's been showing a little bit. And after what he did after the All-Star game last year, I still think you give him a chance. I think maybe our biggest need, somebody that could play third base. If Massey's not going to be able to play second base and he's going to be DHing, I really do like how we've got things set up right now with, with him DHing. But if we could get somebody playing third base and maybe have a little more bat than Lofton, I don't know. I don't know if that's out there, but
it'd be tough to find, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about the offense too much, like you were saying, but if we could find something maybe that we could mix in, maybe a third baseman outfielder combo, I don't know.
But yeah, I got you.
That's all I have. Yeah.
Always nice hearing from you. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Nice hearing from you, Jake. You mentioned Seth Lugo, 10 strikeouts today. Have I even mentioned Lugo's line? I'm too busy telling you about how he leads the world in everything. Lugo needs 93 pitches to throw 6 scoreless innings. Okay, it sounds like a lot of pitches until you realize he punched out 10. 4 hits total. 5 base runners total. 4 hits, 1 walk, 10 punchies. He's 11-2 on the season. It's his third double-digit strikeout performance of 2024. He spoke with the media moments ago, and the camera and microphone of Bally Sports Kansas City was there.
I thought it went pretty well. I was able to keep him off balance. Especially after taking that liner in the first, was able to stay focused, keep making pitches.
Did the liner hinder you a little bit just as you're going through?
Yeah. It was tough to catch the ball from Freddie. I was a little weak on that front side, so I really had to really focus to stay in my mechanics there.
And against a team like this in a series like this, to take 3 out of 4, did you have any extra, juice on the mound today?
Oh, yeah. Especially with the crowd. It was a big crowd and they were loud. They were into it all game, all series, really. After that tough one yesterday, we really wanted the series win. We were able to get it today.
Man, how big do you think it is for that club, for this club to take 3 out of 4?
It's great. We know where we're at. We know where they're at in the standings. And to go out and perform and just do what we do and control what we control. That's what we did today, and that's how we got the W.
How'd you characterize your curveball and your changeup, and how did that kind of play off each other today?
They were good. I actually feel like curveball could have been a little better. I wasn't really locating as well, but it had the good movement, so I'll take that. And the changeup, it's turning into a really good pitch for me, and I'm really starting to trust it, so I decided to throw it a lot more today.
Taking 3 out of 4 from this club, do you feel like that proves this team can compete for that division title right at the season?
Absolutely. We know we're a good team, but we know they're a good team also. And, I think especially for some of the young guys in this clubhouse to show that we're as good as the best, I think that's going to take us a long way in the future.
You look around the clubhouse earlier today, you had some of the coaches in where the shirts of the All-Star on them. So what does it mean to be in consideration for that kind of praise and honor, and what does it mean to you?
Yeah, it's awesome. For me, it's about putting in the work and, trusting myself and trusting my process. And, it's a little satisfaction that I'm doing some good things.
If it did come down to it and your name came up as an All-Star starter, what would it mean to you?
That'd be awesome. It's something I didn't ever dreamed of. So, it'd just be a really cool surprise.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice little grin coming over the face of Seth Lugo when he's asked that question by Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. What would it mean to start the All-Star game? Way to go. Jalen, I heard Jackson Stone of MLB.com asking the questions inside the Royals clubhouse as the 34-year-old Seth Lugo picks up his 11th win of the season. That's a career high. He's on pace to win 20. We haven't seen a 20-game winner since 1989. Royals win 6-2. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's post-game show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
3-2 pitch, and Salvi hits it deep to left field, hooking and sinking and gone just over the wall. Salvador Perez hits a 2-run home run in the bottom of the 7th inning, and the Royals lead Cleveland 6-0.
Ryan LaFever on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. The 8th pitch of the at-bat. A changeup down. Salvi lifts it over the left field wall for that his 14th home run of the season. And career home run number 260. Salvi's 57 away from matching George Brett's franchise record. And 260 career home runs. That matches Atlanta great Javi Lopez for 11th most on the all-time home run list for catchers. Salvi's now one away from matching Hall of Famer Roy Campanella for 10th in baseball history. Salvi today, 1-for-4 with that 2-run home run. But let's talk about what the big fella did in the first inning. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but it deserves to be repeated. Bobby Witt Jr. with one out, singles to center field as he guides a changeup right back where it came from. Vinny Pasquantino then pulls a 2-1 cutter down in the zone. He pulls it to right field. So the Royals have first and third with one out. Salvi hits a 6-4-3 inning-ending double play, but shows the type of speed that we haven't seen much this season. His second fastest time down the line beats out what should have been an inning-ending double play. Instead, Bobby comes down from third. Salvi picks up the stake, and the Royals jump out to a 1-0 lead. They would go on to win 6-2, and they take the series from the first-place Guardians. Royals now 7 games back of Cleveland. 7 more meetings with the Guardians. 7 games in a 10-day stretch starting at the end of August. Salvi, by the way, 3 home runs in 7 games during this homestand. Ladies and gentlemen, on this Sunday afternoon, let me welcome in my buddy Chester. Chester, go ahead.
When you need something to have them to think about, when you do something to have them to talk about or refuse to talk about, you're talking about energy. Cities and nations need energy. Talking about energy that is more convincing, more confidence, more climbing, take it to execution. I take 11-win pitcher over the pitcher they had the last game, the game before, 7 runs. Oh, no, when you got the combination of dimension of pitching, offense, speed, a little clutch hitting, and fan appreciation, oh, no, they just barely got the 2. Give them something to talk about. When you talk about fearless witnessing on a Sunday, yes, I talk about expectation. Can it be more convincing? Oh, when you talk about execution, can it be more climbing? Go through and say, well, pitching and defense and speed, you could take a little bit away from clutch hitting. You're still going to get what? Win some series. But when you win it against someone that's had as many winning streaks as they had, you know, coming in and thinking they're going to win more than they can win, you talking about giving you the money worth, giving you the time worth, giving you faith come by hearing them young men. Take a fan appreciation. Take this opportunity. And the opposition think it's going to be an inopportunity. Give them something to talk about. We need this on a Sunday. It's a preacher's sermon. Giving them something, give them a new level.
There you go.
That's coming up. A new fire coming up. Yeah. A new appreciation coming up. But here in KC, enjoy it. Enjoy it with all your time and money worth. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
All right, Chester. All right. Let's go to Carter. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Carter, go ahead. I don't know what to say.
Hey, Josh. Now, just back to what you were saying earlier about Lugo getting the start in the All-Star game. I truly agree with that. But earlier in the call today, I heard somebody named Walter say about Mikel Garcia getting traded. And, you know, I'm not totally against that. I mean, he's kind of holding our team back at the leadoff spot.
How much sense does it make? Then what are we talking about? If you don't want him, why would someone else want him?
I mean, I don't know, but I don't think we need to keep him any longer. I mean, you don't want your leadoff guy batting 230. With 5 home runs, and I just don't think he's going to be our guy.
So who do you want to play second base moving forward? Who do you want hitting leadoff moving forward?
I want Massey back. I mean, that's our guy.
Okay, well, he's not playing second base. He can't play second base. Who else?
Give him a couple weeks, and I think we'll be back to him.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks for the phone call, Carter. I got you, buddy. I appreciate it. Nice hearing from you. Let's go to Elwood in Kansas City. What's going on, Elwood?
Nothing. I was at the game today, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, just the pitching did great. Salvi's home run was great. I just want to talk about something they did yesterday, the foul pole.
Yeah.
When it hit the foul pole. I mean, I understand the umps, like, they don't, like, never mind. Sorry.
No, I know what you're saying. I got you. Yeah. I appreciate the phone call, Elwood. Yeah, it was... Yeah. It was strange yesterday. It's a foul ball that they called a two-run home run. But, you know, the thing about it is, yes, it changed the momentum of yesterday's game, but a quality reflection of a quality team is being able to flush something like that, not allowing it to carry into today's game. And like I mentioned, Salvi's hustle right out of the gate in the first inning, back-to-back doubles from Freddie Fermin and Garrett Hampson in the second inning. And then, you know, no one was thinking about that goofy play from yesterday. Nice hearing from you, buddy. 913-586-7610. Yeah, Freddie and Garrett Hampson went back-to-back doubles in the second inning. Freddie, by the way, is a 291 hitter when his name's in the starting lineup. OPS better than 750. Garrett Hampson, he's hitting better than 300 since the start of May. Royals win 6-2, and we're trading the leadoff hitter. And the... Let's go to Tony in Olathe. Tony, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Who do you want to trade? Oh, we lost Tony. Okay. I don't blame you, Tony. I've had enough of it, too. Let's try Jacob in Virginia. Jacob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm still laughing about Carter, though. I ain't going to lie. listen, first off, it's so good that the Royals are winning so much at home. It's just great to hear fans like Leawood talking about, you know, they're going out and they're seeing Royals wins. They're not seeing Royals games. They're seeing wins.
Right. Well said.
I had something to say, but I completely forget about it. Look, I don't know what else the detractors are going to pull out of their seats next. Okay. They just, they have a 4-2 record over the AL's best team this year. They're in the postseason hunt. I mean, I just don't know what else they're going to try and cook up next. So, Vern, thanks for what you do. And everyone, just enjoy the ride. Ignore these folks weighing down the winning wagon. Go Royals.
Well said. Great phone call, Jacob. Always nice hearing from you. Royals win 6-2. Let's head back inside that clubhouse. Salvador Perez, 1-for-3, a two-run home run in the seventh inning, an RBI fielder's choice in the first. Let's hear what the captain had to say to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Every series, I think it's important. you know, every time we win, it's good for us, especially in the situation we are right now. I think every team in big league want to make it to the playoffs, and that's one of the goals. You know, beat the series against a team like Cleveland, and you guys know how good they are. You know, it's pretty good for us.
I want to ask about one of your teammates, Seth Lugo. You guys have had shirts this for you guys to be All-Stars. Do you think he should be the All-Star?
Yeah, 100%. Lugo deserves to go to the All-Star game. That's my tie, you know. And hopefully he can make it, you know, Junior too. He deserves to be in the All-Star game too.
And what does taking 3 out of 4 from Cleveland say about, you know, this team?
Right now happened to Cleveland, you know, but it doesn't matter who we play. We just need to get here, get ready for play again, you know, and try to win, you know. And like I said, it's pretty good win the series against Cleveland, you know. They're really good. They're in the first play in our division, you know. Nobody can hide it. Everybody can see that. So I think it was a pretty good series.
How much momentum can you take from this June and this series to go into July and start fresh year?
Yeah, I think, whatever happened in the past is over, you know. We cannot make that any change. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a concentration and keep going, keep working hard. We're gonna got some bad situation, we're gonna got some good situation. Hopefully the good situation stay. So hopefully the next month is better for us. And by the way, thank you for the crown, thank you for the people in Kansas City, thank you for the support.
There you go, that's Salvador Perez sounding a lot like Vinny Pasquantino, which is no surprise. Salvi's the captain. Vinny, to me, is the mouthpiece of that clubhouse. And when I say they sound alike, if you missed it, Vinny was nice enough to call into the postgame show right out of the gate. So if you want, subscribe and like and share and the All Things Vern podcast. If you ever miss the postgame show, it's always podcasted on the Odyssey app or wherever you download fine podcasts. Again, just search All Things Vern. But Vinny called up earlier and I asked him, you know, what does this mean? What's the clubhouse like after you guys take 3 of 4 from Cleveland? And he kind of hemmed and hawed and, you know, was trying not to say and, you know, trying not to put me down, I'm sure. And, you know, stupid question, Vern. What do you think? We're excited. But he kind of hemmed and hawed and said, yeah, it's nice winning, but we're not shocked that we won 3 of 4. We didn't learn anything new about ourselves by beating this team. You know, that's what you want. You don't want this team, which, by the way, a team that has Vinny, Bobby, Mike, I mean, your first three hitters. This is the biggest game they've ever played in the big leagues. There's no denying it. Vinny, Bobby, Mike Hell, Nick Lofton, Freddie Fremien, Garrett Hampson, Dyron Blanco. So that's 7 of your 9 starters. Biggest game they've ever played in was today. And do they strike you as a wide-eyed bunch? Oh, golly gee, I can't believe we're here. Oh, we lost 106 games. No! Not at all. Going at your neck. The Yankees, the Dodgers, you can play with all of them. Cleveland, Baltimore. I mean, you could. I mean, like I said right out of the gate, guys, I could talk about this game, this team for hours. Look at what Alec Marsh does against the top teams in baseball. Look at what he did against the Yankees, what he did against Cleveland. Go back and look at how he performed against Minnesota, against Baltimore. Against the best teams in the sport, Alec Marsh is at his best. You can say the same about Brady Singer. Cole Reagans is studly every time. Seth Lugo is, again, a guy that should start the All-Star game. Oh, and Michael Wacha's a former NLCS MVP. That's why you can say, if you're Salvi, if you're Vinny, yeah, nice win, but it doesn't matter who we're playing. Now, the Chiefs are 3-time Super Bowl champs. They are a dynasty. But you feel the same way about them, right? It doesn't matter who you're lining up against. Beat them. I expect the Chiefs to win every single time they take the field. I know they won't, but I expect it because they have the most powerful weapon in the sport. That quarterback. And then that head coach and that tight end and that defensive tackle. That they got stars that can change games. Now, baseball's different. But when you have an elite rotation, elite defense, and elite team speed, yeah, I'm going to expect you to win every single game. I know you won't. I know the Royals are going to lose another 30 games. But I'm not going to expect, so long as this rotation remains healthy, I'm not going to expect it. I'll tell you that right now. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, always nice hearing from you, buddy. How you doing?
Good, Vern. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yeah, great win today. I'm just watching the Minnesota Twins game, trying to keep up on their game. But as far as the trade deadline goes, you know, I have a question. I don't know if you can really answer this or is this a hard question, but I know.
Might ask Walter. He's got the info. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
I know bullpen is, like, kind of been good recently, but is there, like, a specific, like, bullpen piece? Are we looking for, like, a closer, a middle reliever, or, like, is there a specific,
a good one.
Like, bullpen piece?
A good
piece?
One.
I'll listen.
Just a good one.
There, Vern.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking for a good one. That's it. I mean, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't care who they bring in. Whether I've heard of him, whether you've heard of him, he's a future Hall of Famer, he's a former scrub. It doesn't matter. Do you perform well when you get to Kansas City? That's all that matters. I've just been doing this too long to sit here and do the whole sports radio thing of, oh, go get this guy. Yeah, okay, go acquire Tanner Scott. If he comes here and stinks, it's a bad move. Even if your heart was in the right place, if the... You know, seasons like this at a level like this, it's not so, you know, don't tell me about the birth, just show me the baby. That's how I am when it comes to acquisitions. It's an unfair thing to say, but that's the job. That's what happens when you're the general manager or a member of the front office for a small market team. You don't have much wiggle room. When you make those moves, you got to be right. Now, ideally, Chris Bubich is the first option and the only option that you need. He comes, he joins this bullpen, and they go to another level. As far as, you know, a trade deadline, which is exactly a month away, 22, 21 games now remain for the Royals in this front office to judge this team before that trade deadline. I wouldn't give up anything of note. I wouldn't part with anything that puts any added pressure on this team. And I don't mean pressure on the guys inside the clubhouse. They don't care who gets traded from the minor leagues. More times than not, they won't care all that much. You know, they want to get better. You know, you'd like to have someone walk into that clubhouse to show those guys, yes, we believe in you, go get them. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing an arm or two, but I'm not, let me put it this way, I'm not getting in a bidding war for anyone. You know, what I'm doing as a Royals fan, as a post-game show host, is I'm expecting JJ in this front office to do what they're always doing. Whether this team was 47-39 or 39-47, if you can find that diamond in the rough, that waiver wire claim, that overlooked arm on another team's 40-man roster that they are not utilizing properly, that you believe if he comes here and reshapes that pitch and throws that pitch a little bit more and scraps that pitch, we can unlock him. How cool is it that that's actually a possibility now, that this pitching department now has some skins on the wall where they can say, look at what we did with that dude. Look what we did with Reagans and Waka. Look at how we sold Sam Long to come here to choose us. Look at what we've done with James MacArthur. MacArthur, by the way, faces the minimum in an 11-pitch ninth inning. Royals win 6-2. Let's quickly go through a few of these text messages. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Henry from Topeka says, Vern, if Bobby Witt Jr. gave you a two-bag lead, do you think you could tie him at home? No. So I'm on second base when he leaves home? No, I don't think so. I just snapped into reality and remembered, you got your 41st birthday coming up. No, I'm not keeping up with Bobby Witt Jr. He's tracking me down and laughing the entire way. John and Olathe's confused by some of the complaints. John, you've been listening long enough. You know how it goes. Joey from Overland Park. Vern, what do you think the Royals do with James MacArthur in the closer's role? Do they move him to a setup and get someone else? Or do they keep him and add a different type of arm? Well, I don't see a option that jumps out at me right now as a better closer than James MacArthur. I don't think that they will. You know, the only type of acquisition I could see this team making that would, raise my eyebrows, is a reliever with multiple years of control. That is possible. Well, Tampa coming to town on Tuesday. See, the issue is those type of relievers, a lot of them are on teams that are still very much in it, or on teams that believe that they're still very much in it. Tampa, four games back of the Royals for that final wild card spot. So I can't imagine if JJ lobs a phone call to the Rays and says, hey, what would it take to pry Peter Fairbanks or Jason Adam out of your bullpen? They'd hang up on him and say, hey, we're about to beat your tail. And at the end of this series, we're only going to be a game back, a game out of the wild card spot. So 30 days until the trade deadline, and looking at the American League, White Sox, Oakland, Angels are out of it. I think Detroit should wave the flag. So four teams in the American League. Rockies and Marlins, I think, are toast in the National League, and that's it. So 20% of the league is out. The other 80% still believes that they are very much in it. So it's going to be tough to find those arms. The only type of big move that I would really, truly support would be something like that. Something that not only helps you in 2024, but can help you in 2025 and beyond. The There's no need to go all in 2024. Honestly, I don't know if we ever see, and I've said this before, I don't know if we ever see this organization go truly all in ever again. Cleveland doesn't do that. Tampa doesn't do that. And that is, those two franchises, in my opinion, are the model. A few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. Todd and Lawrence says that Walter is better sourced than Vern. Yeah, no doubt. If you missed it, Walter says people are talking about trading Mikel Garcia. I haven't heard that. Karen in Independence is pumped up after this one. You should be, Karen. How can you not be? Elliot from Des Moines has the crew all loaded up in the car, heading back north with a big old smile on his face. Elliot, always appreciate you listening. Drive safe. Dan in KCK is giving some love to Seth Lugo. Yeah, you should. Lugo, by the way, is holding opponents to a batting average of .184 with runners in scoring position. That's, top five in Major League Baseball? Kathy in Los Angeles. Kathy, you've been listening too long to be surprised by the doubters, by the haters. I know. I don't know what they're watching either, but I appreciate you listening. Scott in Phoenix makes the point that it's, giving some love, of course, to Seth Lugo, saying that he does deserve to start next month's All-Star game. But, Vern, let's not now let down against Tampa. Let's not have a letdown against the Rays. Yeah, and you know what then, Scott? I see this text was from a while ago, but yeah, you have to be through the roof then what you heard from Vinny Pasquantino. You got to love what you heard from Salvador Perez. Again, they're not spiking a football after taking 3 of 4 from Cleveland, taking 4 of the first 6 from the first place team. No, it's, yeah, that's what we do. We win games, and we're ready for the next game to compete and hopefully come out on top. It's a fair concern. I heard Denny Matthews make note of it as he was signing off. You know, yeah, you're sky high right now, but Tampa's playing some ball. They're starting to turn their season around, and they're, now look, you have Ryan Pepio coming up in game 2. They got him from the Dodgers. He's the real deal. Zach Eflin's a pro's pro. He goes in the finale coming up on Thursday night. And you got the two best pitchers in that town.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Odyssey app.
3-2 pitch. And Salvi hits it deep to left field. Hooking and sinking and gone just over the wall. Salvador Perez hits a 2-run home run in the bottom of the 7th inning. And the Royals lead Cleveland 6-0.
Ryan Lefebvre on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. The 8th pitch of the at-bat. A changeup down. Salvi lifts it over the left field wall for that, his 14th home run of the season, and career home run number 260. Salvi's 57 away from matching George Brett's franchise record. And 260 career home runs, that matches Atlanta great Javi Lopez for 11th most on the all-time home run list for catchers. Salvi's now one away from matching Hall of Famer Roy Campanella for 10th in baseball history. Salvi today, 1 for 4 with that 2-run home run. But let's talk about what the big fella did in the first inning. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but it deserves to be repeated. Bobby Witt Jr. with 1 out, singles to center field as he guides a changeup right back where it came from. Vinny Pasquantino then pulls a 2-1 cutter down in the zone. He pulls it to right field. So the Royals have first and third with 1 out. Salvi hits a 6-4-3 inning-ending double play, but shows the type of speed that we haven't seen much this season. His second fastest time down the line beats out what should have been an inning-ending double play. Instead, Bobby comes down from third. Salvi picks up the stake, and the Royals jump out to a 1-0 lead. They would go on to win 6-2, and they take the series from the first-place Guardians. Royals now 7 games back of Cleveland. 7 more meetings with the Guardians, 7 games in a 10-day stretch starting at the end of August. Salvi, by the way, 3 home runs in 7 games during this homestand. Ladies and gentlemen, on this Sunday afternoon, let me welcome in my buddy Chester. Chester, go ahead.
When you need something to have them to think about, when you do something to have them to talk about or refuse to talk about, you're talking about energy. Cities and nations need energy. Talking about energy that is more convincing, more confidence, more climbing, take it to execution. I take 11-win pitcher over the pitcher they had the last game, the game before, 7 runs. Oh, no, when you got the combination of dimension of pitching, offense, speed, a little clutch hitting, and fan appreciation, oh, no, they just barely got the 2. Give them something to talk about. When you talk about fearless witnessing on a Sunday, yes, I talk about expectation. Can it be more convincing? Oh, when you talk about execution, can it be more climbing? Go through and say, well, pitching and defense and speed, you could take a little bit away from clutch hitting. You're still going to get what? Win some series. But when you win it against someone that's had as many winning streaks as they had, you know, coming in and thinking they're going to win more than they can win, you're talking about giving you the money worth, giving you the time worth, giving you faith come by hearing them young men. Take a fan appreciation. Take this opportunity. And the opposition think it's going to be an inopportunity. Give them something to talk about. We need this on a Sunday. It's a preacher's sermon. Giving them something. Give them a new level.
There you go.
It's coming up. A new fire coming up. Yeah. A new appreciation coming up. But here in KC. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. With all your time and money worth. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
All right, Chester. All right. Let's go to Carter. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Carter, go ahead. I don't know what to say.
Hey, Josh. Now, just back to what you were saying earlier about Lugo getting the start in the All-Star game. I truly agree with that. But earlier in the call today, I heard somebody named Walter say about Mikel Garcia getting traded. And, you know, I'm not totally against that. I mean, he's kind of holding our team back at the leadoff spot.
How much sense does it make? Then what are we talking about? If you don't want him, why would someone else want him?
I mean, I don't know, but I don't think we need to keep him any longer. I mean, you don't want your leadoff guy batting 230 with 5 home runs, and I just don't think he's going
to
be our guy.
So who do you want to play second base moving forward? Who do you want hitting leadoff moving forward?
I want Massey back. I mean, that's our guy.
Okay, well, he's not playing second base. He can't play second base. Who else?
Give him a couple weeks, and I think we'll be back to him.
Okay. All right. All right, thanks for the phone call, Carter. I got you, buddy. I appreciate it. Nice hearing from you. Let's go to Elwood in Kansas City. What's going on, Elwood?
Nothing. I was at the game today, and it was a lot of fun. Just the pitching did great. Salvi's home run was great. I just want to talk about something they did yesterday, the foul pole.
Yeah.
When it hit the foul pole. I mean, I understand the umps, like, they don't, like, sorry.
No, I know what you're saying. I got you. Yeah. I appreciate the phone call, Elwood. Yeah, it was strange yesterday. It's a foul ball that they called a 2-run home run. But, you know, the thing about it is, yes, it changed the momentum of yesterday's game, but a quality reflection of a quality team is being able to flush something like that, not allowing it to carry into today's game. And like I mentioned, Salvi's hustle right out of the gate in the first inning, back-to-back doubles from Freddie Fermin and Garrett Hampson in the second inning. And then, you know, no one was thinking about that goofy play from yesterday. Nice hearing from you, buddy. 913-586-7610. Yeah, Freddie and Garrett Hampson went back-to-back doubles in the second inning. Freddie, by the way, is a 291 hitter when his name's in the starting lineup. OPS better than 750. Garrett Hampson, he's hitting better than 300 since the start of May. Royals win 6-2, and we're trading the leadoff hitter. And the... Let's go to Tony in Olathe. Tony, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Who do you want to trade? Oh, we lost Tony. Okay. I don't blame you, Tony. I've had enough of it, too. Let's try Jacob in Virginia. Jacob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm still laughing about Carter, though. I ain't going to lie. Listen, first off, it's so good that the Royals are winning so much at home. It's just great to hear fans like Leawood talking about, you know, they're going out and they're seeing Royals wins. They're not seeing Royals games. They're seeing wins.
Right. Well said.
I had something to say, but I completely forget about it. Look, I don't know what else the detractors are going to pull out of their seats next. Okay, they just they have a 4-2 record over the AL's best team this year. They're in the postseason hunt. I mean, I just don't know what else they're going to try and cook up next. So, Vern, thanks for what you do. And everyone, just enjoy the ride. Ignore these folks weighing down the winning wagon. Go Royals.
Well said. Great phone call, Jacob. Always nice hearing from you. Royals win 6-2. Let's head back inside that clubhouse. Salvador Perez, 1-for-3, a 2-run home run in the 7th inning, an RBI fielder's choice in the 1st. Let's hear what the captain had to say to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Every series, I think it's important. every time we win, it's good for us, especially in the situation we are right now. I think every team in big league want to make it to a playoff, and that's one of the goals. You know, beat the series against a team like Cleveland. You guys know how good they are. You know, it's pretty good for us.
I want to ask about one of your teammates, Seth Lugo. You guys patched shirts this for you guys just to be All-Stars. Do you think he should be the All-Star starter?
Yeah, 100%. Lugo deserves to go to the All-Star game. That's my tie, you know. And hopefully he can make it. You know, Junior too. He deserves to be in the All-Star game too.
And what does taking 3 out of 4 from Cleveland say about, you know, this team?
Right now happened to Cleveland, you know, but it doesn't matter who we play. We just need to get here, get ready for play again, you know, and try to win, you know. And like I said, it's pretty good win the series against Cleveland, you know. They really good. They're in the first place in our division, you know. Nobody can hide it. Everybody can see that. So I think it was a pretty good series.
How much momentum can you take from this June and this series to go into July and start fresh in?
Whatever happened in the past is over, you know. We cannot make that any change. You know, you need a concentration and keep going, keep working hard. We're gonna got some bad situation, we're gonna got some good situation. Hopefully the good situation stay. So hopefully the next month is better for us. And by the way, thank you for the crown, thank you for the people in Kansas City, thank you for the support.
There you go, that's Salvador Perez sounding a lot like Vinny Pasquantino. Which is no surprise. Salvi's the captain. Vinny, to me, is the mouthpiece of that clubhouse. And when I say they sound alike, if you missed it, Vinny was nice enough to call into the postgame show right out of the gate. So if you want, subscribe and like and share and the All Things Vern podcast. If you ever miss the postgame show, it's always podcasted on the Odyssey app or wherever you download fine podcasts. Again, just search All Things Vern. But Vinny called up earlier and I asked him, you know, what does this mean? What's the clubhouse like after you guys take 3 of 4 from Cleveland? And he kind of hemmed and hawed and, you know, was trying not to say and, you know, trying not to put me down, I'm sure. And, you know, stupid question, Vern. What do you think? We're excited. But he kind of hemmed and hawed and said, yeah, it's nice winning, but we're not shocked that we won 3 of 4. We didn't learn anything new about ourselves by beating this team. You know, that's what you want. You don't want this team, which, by the way, a team that has Vinny, Bobby, Mike, I mean, your first 3 hitters. This is the biggest game they've ever played in the big leagues. There's no denying it. Vinny, Bobby, Mike Hell, Nick Lofton, Freddie Fremien, Garrett Hampson, Dyrone Blanco. So that's 7 of your 9 starters. Biggest game they've ever played in was today. And do they strike you as a wide-eyed bunch? Oh, golly gee, I can't believe we're here. Oh, we lost 106 games. No, not at all. They're going at your neck. The Yankees, the Dodgers, you can play with all of them. Cleveland, Baltimore. I mean, you can. I mean, like I said right out of the gate, guys, I could talk about this game, this team for hours. Look what Alec Marsh does against the top teams in baseball. Look at what he did against the Yankees, what he did against Cleveland. Go back and look at how he performed against Minnesota, against Baltimore. Against the best teams in the sport, Alec Marsh is at his best. You can say the same about Brady Singer. Cole Reagans is studly every time. Seth Lugo is, again, a guy that should start the All-Star game. Oh, and Michael Wacha's a former NLCS MVP. That's why you can say, if you're Salvi, if you're Vinny, yeah, nice win, but it doesn't matter who we're playing. Now, the Chiefs are three-time Super Bowl champs. They are a dynasty. But you feel the same way about them, right? It doesn't matter who you're lining up against. Beat them. I expect the Chiefs to win every single time they take the field. I know they won't, but I expect it. Because they have the most powerful weapon in the sport. That quarterback. And then that head coach and that tight end and that defensive tackle. And they got stars that can change games. Now, baseball's different. But when you have an elite rotation, elite defense, and elite team speed, yeah, I'm going to expect you to win every single game. I know you won't. I know the Royals are going to lose another 30 games. But I'm not going to expect, so long as this rotation remains healthy, I'm not going to expect it. I'll tell you that right now. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, always nice hearing from you, buddy. How you doing?
Good, Vern. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yeah, great win today. I'm just watching the Minnesota Twins game, trying to keep up on their game. But as far as the trade deadline goes, you know, I have a question. I don't know if you can really answer this or is this a hard question, but I know.
Might ask Walter. He's got the info. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
I know bullpen is like kind of been good lately, but is there like a specific like bullpen piece? Are we looking for like a closer, a middle reliever, or like is there a specific
bullpen piece?
I'll listen. Just a good one. There, Vern.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking for a good one. That's it. I mean, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't care who they bring in, whether I've heard of them, whether you've heard of them. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a former scrub. It doesn't matter. Do you perform well when you get to Kansas City? That's all that matters. I've just been doing this too long to sit here and do the whole sports radio thing of, oh, go get this guy. Yeah, okay, go acquire Tanner Scott. If he comes here and stinks, it's a bad move. Even if your heart was in the right place, if the, you know. Seasons like this, at a level like this, it's not so, you know. Don't tell me about the birth, just show me the baby. That's how I am when it comes to acquisitions. It's an unfair thing to say, but that's the job. That's what happens when you're the general manager or a member of the front office for a small market team. You don't have much wiggle room. When you make those moves, you got to be right. Now, ideally, Chris Bubich is the first option and the only option that you need. He comes, he joins this bullpen, and they go to another level. As far as, you know, a trade deadline, which is exactly a month away, 21 games now remain for the Royals in this front office to judge this team before that trade deadline. I wouldn't give up anything of note. I wouldn't part with anything that puts any added pressure on this team. And I don't mean pressure on the guys inside the clubhouse. They don't care who gets traded from the minor leagues. More times than not, they won't care all that much. You know, they want to get better. You know, you'd like to have someone walk into that clubhouse to show those guys, yes, we believe in you, go get them. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing an arm or two, but I'm not, let me put it this way, I'm not getting in a bidding war for anyone. You know, what I'm doing as a Royals fan, as a post-game show host, is I'm expecting JJ in this front office to do what they're always doing. Whether this team was 47-39 or 39-47, if you can find that diamond in the rough, that waiver wire claim, that overlooked arm on another team's 40-man roster that they are not utilizing properly, that you believe if he comes here and reshapes that pitch and throws that pitch a little bit more and scraps that pitch, we can unlock him. How cool is it that that's actually a possibility now, that this pitching department now has some skins on the wall where they can say, look at what we did with that dude. Look what we did with Reagans and Waka. Look at how we sold Sam Long to come here to choose us. Look at what we've done with James MacArthur. MacArthur, by the way, faces the minimum in an 11-pitch ninth inning. Royals win 6-2. Let's quickly go through a few of these text messages. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Henry from Topeka says, Vern, if Bobby Witt Jr. gave you a two-bag lead, do you think you could tie him at home? No. So I'm on second base when he leaves home? No, I don't think so. I just snapped into reality and remembered, you got your 41st birthday coming up. No, I'm not keeping up with Bobby Witt Jr. He's tracking me down and laughing the entire way. John and Olathe's confused by some of the complaints. John, you've been listening long enough. You know how it goes. Joey from Overland Park. Vern, what do you think the Royals do with James MacArthur in the closer's role? Do they move him to a setup and get someone else? Or do they keep him and add a different type of arm? Well, I don't see an option that jumps out at me right now as a better closer than James MacArthur. I don't think that they will. You know, the only type of acquisition I could see this team making that would, raise my eyebrows, is a reliever with multiple years of control. That is possible. Well, Tampa coming to town on Tuesday. See, the issue is those type of relievers, a lot of them are on teams that are still very much in it, or on teams that believe that they're still very much in it. Tampa, four games back of the Royals for that final wild card spot. So I can't imagine if JJ lobs a phone call to the Rays and says, hey, what would it take to pry Peter Fairbanks or Jason Adam out of your bullpen? They'd hang up on him and say, hey, we're about to beat your tail. And at the end of this series, we're only going to be a game back, a game out of the wild card spot. So 30 days until the trade deadline, and looking at the American League, White Sox, Oakland, Angels are out of it. I think Detroit should wave the flag. So four teams in the American League. Rockies and Marlins, I think, are toast in the National League, and that's it. So 20% of the league is out. The other 80% still believes that they are very much in it. So it's going to be tough to find those arms. The only type of big move that I would really, truly support would be something like that. Something that not only helps you in 2024, but can help you in 2025 and beyond. There's no need to go all in 2024. Honestly, I don't know if we ever see, and I've said this before, I don't know if we ever see this organization go truly all in ever again. Cleveland doesn't do that. Tampa doesn't do that. And that is, those two franchises, in my opinion, are the model. A few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. Todd in Lawrence says that Walter is better sourced than Vern. Yeah, no doubt. If you missed it, Walter says people are talking about trading Michael Garcia. I haven't heard that. Karen in Independence is pumped up after this one. You should be, Karen. How can you not be? Elliot from Des Moines has the crew all loaded up in the car, heading back north with a big old smile on his face. Elliot, always appreciate you listening. Drive safe. Dan in KCK is giving some love to Seth Lugo. Yeah, you should. Lugo, by the way, is holding opponents to a batting average of .184 with runners in scoring position. That's, what, top five in Major League Baseball? Kathy in Los Angeles. Kathy, you've been listening too long to be surprised by the doubters, by the haters. I know. I don't know what they're watching either, but I appreciate you listening. Scott in Phoenix makes the point that it's, you know, giving some love, of course, to Seth Lugo, saying that he does deserve to start next month's All-Star game. But, Vern, let's not now let down against Tampa. Let's not have a letdown against the Rays. Yeah, and you know what then, Scott? I see this text was from a while ago, but yeah, you have to be through the roof than what you heard from Vinny Pasquantino. You gotta love what you heard from Salvador Perez. Again, they're not spiking a football after taking 3 of 4 from Cleveland, taking 4 of the first 6 from the first place team. No, it's, yeah, that's what we do. We win games, and we're ready for the next game to compete and hopefully come out on top. It's a fair concern. I heard Denny Matthews make note of it as he was signing off. You know, yeah, you're sky high right now, but Tampa's playing some ball. They're starting to turn their season around, and they're... Now, look, you have Ryan Pepiot coming up in Game 2. They got him from the Dodgers. He's the real deal. Zach Eflin's a pro's pro. He goes in the finale coming up on Thursday night. And you got the two best pitchers in that Tampa rotation are coming your way, going opposite your number 4 and number 5 starters, Michael Wacha and Alec Marsh, in the final two games of the series. So, yeah, no doubt. But after, you know, tapping into that clubhouse, it doesn't sound as if there will be a letdown. It doesn't sound as if there was any sort of exhale inside that clubhouse. Rally Mantis, appreciate you listening. Giving some love to Salvador Perez. Nice talking to you before the game. Always nice seeing you. Again, Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby combined to go 7-for-12. And they were responsible for all but one of the Royals' 6 runs. The boys win today 6-2. They're now 8 games above 500, 7 games back of the front-running Guardians, and a game and a half in front of the Boston Red Sox for the final American League playoff spot. Coming up on Tuesday, Brady Singer toes the slab going opposite right-hander Zach Littell. It's a 7:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with your chance to win tickets to see the Chicago Cubs come to town. And that's all well and good, but they're giving away a Patrick Mahomes bobblehead of him throwing that behind-the-back pass during the Big Slick last year. I have tickets to that game. So be listening coming up on Tuesday at 6 o'clock for your chance to win. Quentin Morris, great job all weekend, man. Great job back at the studio. Always a pleasure working with you. I appreciate your hard work and dedication, buddy. Kansas City, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning on Fesco in the Morning. Enjoy your Sunday. Take care.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.